from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Good afternoon.
That's going to happen in a second here. As City Limits, this is his first big shot at this. As soon as Mike Tomlin starts talking, Limits is going to feed us into it. Bob Pompiani right now, is he over there doing
it's actually
the intros?
Missy Matthews filling in for Bob, she said.
Missy Matthews.
Where is Missy Matthews? I mean, where is Bob?
Yeah, where is Bob? We don't know.
That's a good question. Bob will join us on Thursday, by the way.
So it's the Arthur Smith Bowl, and Tomlin's going to make the Atlanta Falcons.
Here we go.
With some of our business regarding player availability, Isaac can be described as out this week, but we did get good news regarding his pec injury. We'll characterize this as week to week, and we'll see where next week leads us, but really optimistic about his return sooner rather than later. We've had a couple of guys working in a partial capacity yesterday in our bonus day, and we expect that to continue and increase as we push toward game time. Those guys are Roman Wilson and Troy Fatano. And we're optimistic about both guys. Jaylen Warren can also be included in that discussion along with Corey Trice. We had some guys dealing with some short-term misery regarding injury, but those guys that I mentioned appear to be turning the corner and moving toward availability. But we'll watch as we go through the week, make sure we don't get any negative trends. But not only from a health standpoint, some of these guys don't have extended resumes, and so we'll be watching the quality of their play as well as we re-engage them in this readying process. Let's talk Atlanta here briefly. You know, they got a new staff, and that creates some challenges, particularly in week one. Got intimate knowledge regarding their staff. Obviously got a close relationship with Raheem Morris. I've known Jimmy Lake, their defensive coordinator, for probably 20 years. I know Zach Robinson as well. I got a lot of respect for those guys. But week one presents some challenges in terms of forecasting what their personalities might be in all three phases. They didn't play a lot of their starters in the preseason, and obviously even from a schematic standpoint, you get limited exposure to what people's intentions are regarding the preseason and what it is that they do. But we know the schools of thought that these guys come from, and so we've been preparing with that understanding. Obviously, I work with Raheem Morris, and he's made his bones on the defensive side of the ball. He was in L.A. last year along with Jimmy Lake. We played those guys with the Rams, and so we have that as a point of reference. But one thing I know about Coach Morris and company that, you know, he's going to utilize the talents of the people at his disposal. And so some of the things that they did in L.A. Will be similar to what they do in Atlanta. Some of the things will be different, largely based on people and putting them in position to play well. But we got some challenges from that perspective. On the other side of the ball, same thing. Zach was in L.A. last year. We played those guys. He's worked alongside Sean McVay for a number of years, and you understand the challenges that come with that, their utilization of personnel, their utilization of pace in a variety of ways, situationally, field locations, et cetera. You know, the awesome job that they do in terms of marrying the run game along with run action and misdirections and screens and so forth and non-situational moments. I expect them to kind of do and reflect some of those things, but also I'm excited to maybe see what, you know, what personal touches he brings to it. There was some evidence of that in the preseason, but not a lot, as I mentioned. Again, You work some high volume things generally in the preseason. Some things you hold back. And so, you know, we got to be really, really good fundamentally in this game, like a lot of teams do in week one. There's an element of the unknown that always accompanies week one competition. And so the better you are fundamentally, the higher your floor, the better you position yourself for success. You know, baseline things like pre-snap execution on both sides of the ball is going to be really critical. Our ability to manage the play clock on offense, clean pre-snap shifts and motions and so forth will be a weapon for us. On defense, snap readiness, motion and shift adjustments, communications that go along with those adjustments, how we deal with the environment. First time playing on the road and some of the challenges that come with working in a hostile environment offensively. You know, those are some of the baseline things that really kind of have our attention, coupled with the lack of schematic knowledge about what their intentions might be because they got a new staff. Talk about some things that we do know, some significant players for them. Starting on offense, man, Kirk Cousins obviously is a catalyst for them. They went out and acquired a savvy veteran quarterback who has experience in this system. The system which he employed in Minnesota was really born out of that same L.A. Rams system that they're going to utilize in Atlanta, and that's what made him such an attractive acquisition for them. You know, I think they've got, what, three top 10 draft picks here on offense in recent years, and Bijan Robinson and Drake London and Pitts. And so you package that young, talented group with a savvy veteran quarterback that makes good and fast decisions the way that Kirk does, and you see the vision of what they're trying to do offensively. You know, Kirk always gets the ball out quickly. I'd imagine that's going to be his agenda and their agenda, given the fact he's coming off of an injury. But, you know, that is very much in his wheelhouse, and I'm sure they're going to do some schematic things to keep him clean in that regard. But more than anything, it's about distributing the ball to the variety of people that are really capable, that I mentioned earlier. Bijan Robinson is top tier. He can do a lot of things. He can stop start. He can stick his foot in the ground and juke. He can put together multiple cuts. He's a home run hitter. You know, he's the first running back taken there last year, and I think his skill set and what he was able to put on tape last year really kind of reflect that. Drake London and Kyle Pitts, man, are matchup issues. They really are. Both of them are big-bodied guys who can play the ball above eye level and are vertical threats. As I mentioned, both guys are top 10 draft picks, and I just think that is reflective of their pedigree and talents. And so we got to be cautious about the matchup component of play as it pertains to those guys. They acquired Ray-Ray McCloud from San Fran. Ray-Ray has always been a dangerous return man and offensive gadget guy, I would imagine. You know, they're drawing some things up for him in that regard. They got a rock-solid offensive line group. They really do. We competed against these guys just 2 years ago. They block things well schematically in terms of getting hats on hats, but they're also just really talented. They've invested a lot in that group. They drafted a lot of them high. Several of them are in their second contracts, and so that's a really strong collective. On the defensive side of the ball, there's been some turnover there. They acquired Judon and Simmons in the developmental process. And you're talking about two NFL football players whose resumes speak for themselves. Judon is multi-talented. He's got a really good feel for the game. He's capable of rushing from the right and the left. His production needs no endorsement from me. What he did in New England was really impressive. I think 10 and then 15. I think he had 4 when he got hurt last year. And so we better be cognizant of what his capabilities are. Obviously, we're familiar with him because he was a Baltimore Raven in the past, and obviously we played against him in New England as well. And so he's something to be reckoned with from a rush perspective. They've acquired Simmons, man, to go along with Jesse Bates. And so they got a really savvy veteran safety tandem, one that specializes in taking the ball away. I mean, let's be honest, both guys have taken the ball away wherever they've been. Simmons did so at Boston College and in Denver, and Jesse Bates did so at Wake Forest and Cincinnati and Atlanta last year. I think he had 6. And so we better do a really good job of of managing the downfield component of play. Both of those guys are very capable, and particularly in terms of taking the ball away. A.J. Terrell is a top-notch coverage corner. And so they got a real solid secondary, man. They've acquired a top-notch rushman. As I mentioned, Raheem Morris has always done a really good job of utilizing the talents of the men that he coaches and having defensive schematics reflect that. And so we're going to have some real challenges kind of in that regard. But it's week one. Really excited about it. The anticipation, the angst, if you will, that comes with this time of year, the excitement. I'm really excited about getting to know our group, and what better way to do it versus a group that's the caliber of the Atlanta Falcons and their venue. And so we respect it, and that's why we're preparing with an edge. We'll continue to do so. I had a good day yesterday. I'll pause and open it up for questions.
Right, kind of how would the makeup of your offensive line look in regards to your tackles relative to maybe Troy's help?
You know, we'll determine that as we get closer to game time. He was a partial participant yesterday. It went well. We expect it to be more so tomorrow. And so the closer he gets to health, we'll have a better reflection of how we might divvy that up. But obviously the first two guys are going to be participants. He potentially could be as well. And Spencer Anderson has played some tackle in the past as well. I think those are the candidates, and what the mix is will be determined by how we distribute reps and how they, you know, perform in those reps given.
Mike, you mentioned some of the challenges of the unknown with the Falcons and a new coaching staff. In what ways do you kind of lean on Arthur Smith or use him because of his familiarity with their personnel?
Nothing out of the ordinary, to be quite honest with you. Obviously, he has an intimate understanding of a lot of their personnel, but everybody in the National Football League has personnel departments. It is our business to understand personnel, and so I don't know that we've had any earth-shattering information provided in that regard.
Some of the youth and reconfigured nature of the offensive line and the wide receiver room, is it your belief that even though Arthur Smith and Russell Wilson are new to you guys, that their veteran status, experience as a play caller can overcome some of that collective newness within the offense?
You know, I think their experience was an attractive component to both guys, certainly.
You mentioned Anderson. Is he the next man up at left guard?
Yes, he is.
And with the depth of your offensive line kind of tested over these last few weeks, how have you seen the group still come together in terms of cohesion when, you know, they've had to deal with this depth testing?
You know, we got a lot of young guys in there, and so there's a lot of meat on that growth bone, and we've seen a lot of it, to be quite honest with you, for several reasons. We had some young guys that we drafted high in the draft that shown that the NFL is not too big for them, and I'd imagine they'll continue to show that and continue to grow with exposure. But we also got some second-year players like Broderick and Spencer, and that second lap around the track is reasonable to expect growth and development because of the knowing component. And so we've challenged them in that regard, and they've responded. We got some talented young people, and so it makes for an exciting mix, certainly.
Mike, you've added some new players at receiver. What have you learned about the depth you have in that receiver core?
You know, I'm comfortable with the performance of these guys, man. Had some questions even dating back to the spring, and to be quite honest with you, I probably went in the receiver room about a couple of weeks in the camp and told them that. I just believe in being really transparent. But the consistency in which those guys performed in Latrobe and through team development has made me more comfortable. And specifically, I'm talking about Scotty Miller and Van Jefferson, man. I just can't say enough about the consistency in which they performed, their floor, if you will. They behave like veteran NFL players, and that's provided some comfort in the midst of the transition that comes with dealing with new people and getting acclimated in that way.
Mike, he didn't play the second preseason game and split snaps in the third. What did he do to prove you guys think he should be you guys in?
You know, I don't know that he's done it yet. You know, we have player elevation opportunities and things of that nature during the course of a work week that determines how we divide the labor up. Benny's an exciting young guy. We'll watch him during the week along with some others, and we'll make decisions at the end of the week that's best suited for winning this game.
Have you determined yet which side you think Broderick would get best on, at least to start out?
No, I made no determinations regarding that. Obviously, he's worked a lot at right. But again, we're going to continue to watch that as we progress through the week because versatility has been an asset for him and us.
Mike, heading into his third season, where do you think George Pickens has grown in his game and maturity-wise?
You know, I think he's grown in all areas, not only in terms of skill relative to his position, and he has a lot of that, but the nuances of the game, getting in and out of cuts, hand selection and so forth, he's grown in a lot of ways. And then, obviously, as a human, he's grown in the ways that you expect young guys to grow in terms of knowledge of the game and what it means to be a professional and how to conduct yourself.
Following up on the question about the wide receivers, after you guys traded Deontay, did you find the landscape of building that room more challenging than anticipated at the time, via through the draft, trade, or?
Not at all, to be quite honest with you. There is a plethora of receivers, not only in the draft but in free agency. I mean, you can look at that position in the top three rounds of the draft over the last 5 years, and it gives you an indication of the amount of talent and the readiness of that talent in recent years. And so we were really comfortable with it and not overly concerned about it, to be quite honest with you. We're really excited about Roman Wilson. We got in the third round, for example. We've always done a nice job of acquiring receiver talent and not necessarily in the first round, and I just think that speaks to the depth and readiness of the position.
Mike, do you think that George is in a place where he's going to be able to handle the extra attention that he's probably going to get until maybe the younger guys establish themselves?
I think George has gotten attention all of his life as it pertains to football. I think that's nothing new to him.
Yeah, are you confident he'll be able to handle it in a positive fashion?
Absolutely.
You mentioned Roman Wilson. How big of a role can you expect for him to have, given the limited reps that he had in training camp with the injury?
We'll see. You know, that's what the week of work is about, certainly.
This is a pretty unique weapon at tight end that led us to some. How do you guys organize a team effort to contain him along with the other weapons?
You know, we see unique tight ends week in and week out, to be quite honest with you. We have some dangerous ones in this division. Njoku in Cleveland, Mark Andrews, and Likely in Baltimore. All of them are matchup issues. And so, you know, it might be a challenge for some, but it's somewhat routine for us. Not being disrespectful of his talents, it's just we see some really talented tight ends and ones that are the focal point of offenses.
More regular these days, it's just a natural part of every week in the NFL.
I don't know about regular for all, but somewhat regular for us because of the divisional component that I mentioned.
Mike, I'm sure you approach every season with a sense of urgency, but given all the moves you made, big moves, any more urgency or expectation?
You are exactly right. I approach every season with a big-time sense of urgency.
Mike, Art talked about, you know, you guys need to score more points. And you guys have talked about it as a staff.
More points relative to when?
To before. So he said, I like to score more touchdowns.
Arthur's not toting those bags. Those bags aren't his.
I'm talking about your boss. I'm not talking about Arthur Smith.
Oh, I thought you were talking about Arthur Smith. Okay. You're going to say, those bags aren't his.
where do you see this offense? Does you believe it has more firepower than it did in the last few years?
I'm not interested in making you comfortable today, to be quite honest with you. Those are just words, and really at the end of the day is somewhat meaningless. We'll have an opportunity to put some tape out there this weekend that's kind of reflective of that discussion. I'm more of a doer than a talker. Talking glowingly, particularly when you're undefeated this time of year, is easy, and I'm not attracted to easy. We're just going to work. And we're going to put some tape out there that's kind of reflective of our intentions.
Like, when you guys signed Russell Wilson, you said that his drive was one of the most attractive things about him. How have you seen that kind of translate and show up since he's been here?
It's just who he is. I don't know there's a translation component of it. It's just who he is. You don't have the type of resume that he's had and have done it at the level that he's has for the length of time that he has without bringing some unique traits and approaches to business, and I think that's just been reflected in his day-to-day.
What has Peyton Wilson shown you throughout the course of team development?
You know, he's a talented guy. He's a quick and eager learner. He doesn't make a lot of mistakes twice. He's got a skill set that might allow him to contribute, particularly in some passing circumstances. He's an easy runner. He can cover people. We'll just continue to carve out a role for him, but make no mistake, we're excited about the prospects and his talent level.
You talked about in the past about Russell's deep ball. What makes a quarterback a good deep ball thrower?
Arm strength and accuracy. And not only that, trajectory. And he brings all three. He's got arm strength. He's got pinpoint accuracy. He can drop the ball in your front right shirt pocket, if you will. and his ability to throw the ball over defenders or power a ball in terms of being able to change his trajectory based on circumstances are some of the things that kind of comprise that discussion.
Mike, at the running back position, do you guys have an ideal distribution of reps, you know, in your heads, and how would maybe Jalen Warren's injury affect that from week one here?
You know, it remains to be seen in terms of the impact of his injury or his availability. We got a week's work ahead of us. In terms of how we divide the labor up, man, you know, that's going to be week to week. We got some really capable guys, and you throw CP into that mix as well. More than anything, I just love the demeanor of our running back room, man. These guys don't run away from confrontation. They run to it. That collective, those three guys, I'm really excited about. They're going to lead the charge for us in a lot of ways. That competitive component being a significant one.
Have you found Russell's veteran influence manifesting the most with the team so far? Is it more off the field stuff, or is it like communication calm in the huddle? What is it?
I think that the journey is going to really define that. I think that when you're undefeated, man, it's easy to point to glowing things, but really that's revealed through the challenges that is the journey in the season. I'm not surprised that he's going to be positioned to do those things based on who he is and his experience. But it just happens in a really natural way. But the significant component of that discussion lies ahead, certainly.
Does it say anything to you about how Dan Moore has approached in the past couple of years, probably first round guy, but it just seems to be always getting better?
You know, I think that's professional football. I think we're continually trying to replace people. And people better be continually getting better in an effort to sustain and grow. And that's kind of reflective of his approach and what's happened with him. He's gotten better continually. He's gotten snap opportunities in an effort to do so. And obviously experience is a significant component to get better. But I just think that's a really natural thing. I think that happens, you know, across all positions on every team at this level. Competition is ever present. New talent, new competition is just a component of our game at this level.
When you have two guys potentially making their first NFL starts on your line, do you rely on a Dan Moore and maybe James Daniels to kind of help get them to?
They are going to have to make their plays. Dan's not going to block two people, you know what I mean? Certainly in terms of you know, mindset and communication and things of that nature, but the guys that you mentioned are really capable. And they're going to be capable of absorbing their assignment and blocking their people.
Mike, you've asked Spencer to do a lot of stuff. And I guess if you're a seventh rounder, you've got to do whatever you're asked to do to make a team. What has stood out to you about his development here?
As I mentioned earlier, man, his versatility was a calling card that allowed him to sustain. But the longer he's here, you better specialize in a certain area. And really, his growth and development kind of reminds me a lot of Calvin Beecham, if you remember years ago. Versatility was initially his calling card, and then he settled into the tackle position and went on. Shoot, you know, Beach might still be playing. I think he is. So Spence will be fortunate if he has a Calvin Beecham-like story.
Anyone? Mike, are you looking for other ways to get Nick Herbig on the field? Has he gotten to that point where he's earning other reps or other looks?
You know, we're interested in playing everybody that's capable of helping us. Mon Adams. Leal, you know, it's not an 11-man job, particularly in week one, as you meet the challenges of conditioning, in-game conditioning. And so we're going to cast a big net from a participation standpoint. I'd imagine that a lot of people are, globally speaking, as we get acclimated to in-season conditioning and the workload associated with playing 60 or 60-plus minutes.
Notice anything different about Zach Frazier and the way he kind of approaches things since Nate's injury, and it's kind of been clear that he's going to be the starter?
I hadn't sensed any difference at all in his approach, to be quite honest with you.
Anyone else?
All right.
Great. Thanks, guys.
Paul, I was kind of hoping, no matter what the answer would have been, that somebody would have asked Justin Fields, is he going to get work this week in practice at a position where he can get the ball? Or might he come in as a quarterback for a series or two in a certain package? You know what I mean?
Well, I mean, I would say the biggest thing is nobody was thinking in terms of that. I think they've asked, if there was very little that was asked about the quarterbacks in general. there's a question about Russell Wilson for the most part, but
I want to see that. I want to see Fields on that indoor track get five touches this week. Limits. You agree with that?
I 1,000% agree with it. At least one or two, maybe three touches offensively.
Injury-wise, obviously, Seumalo out. Roman Wilson, he seemed to give a real chance to play. Fatano, we'll see how the week plays out. Warren and Trice, he said he was optimistic on all four of those guys, that there was some reason for optimism with Trice, Warren, Fatanu, and Roman Wilson. So that'd be interesting to see Roman Wilson in the game.
Do you think it makes any sense at all for them to try and get Fatanu into the game this week if he hasn't been practicing? Makes no sense to me.
The only level it makes sense to me is to have him ready in case Broderick Jones turns into the Broderick Jones of the preseason. Somebody better be ready because your other backup tackle, Spencer Anderson, doesn't it sound like he's starting at guard?
Yes, he is.
So, yeah, man, if I'm the Falcons and their defensive coaches, I'm looking at Broderick Jones in that side.
He was a seventh-round pick. You have a seventh-round pick starting, a seventh-round second-year guy starting at left guard right now.
I know. And a rookie at center.
A rookie at center.
And a big question mark at right tackle based on the preseason. And then Dan Moore. Somebody said, is Dan Moore going to help these guys? Tomlin said, we're not going to ask him to block two people. I'd be satisfied if he blocked one ball.
Yeah.
The guy in front of him. I'll be very satisfied if Dan Moore does that and keeps somebody off Roman Wilson's back. You know?
Right.
What else stood out to you about that whole thing?
Well, it took about 15 or 18 minutes, but Will Graves managed to get under his skin.
Do you have that clip limit?
It's usually Will Graves or Tim Benz, or Brooke, one of the three, is the one that every week you can count on him.
It was tremendous.
Sending them a dart.
I forget what the topic was now, but Tomlin said, I'm not here to make you comfortable. You have it?
I'm waiting for our system to slowly load.
Well, we're definitely going to get that. Offensive line is going to be a big, big issue going into this game. The Falcons are the better team, I think, going into this game, Paul. That might sound ridiculous. This game, to me, boils down to, as so many do, Russell Wilson and Kirk Cousins. Is Kirk Cousins, who's certainly not going to be moving around much, is he comfortable enough and healthy enough to make quick reads and quick throws in that offense? He's certainly going to be under duress. Their offensive line is good, but the Steelers are healthy defensively, presumably. They're going to get after Kirk Cousins a little bit.
Honestly, I will tell you this. I almost feel like the worst thing that could happen for the Steelers is that Kirk Cousins gets hurt a little bit early in the game, and they put in that Michael Penix. Because he looked pretty good in the preseason, but more importantly, there's no chance that you're spending hardly any time at all preparing for Michael Penix, who's a completely different quarterback than Kirk Cousins.
Kind of like Cousins and Penix is Wilson and Fields in a way. But Wilson has the same questions as Cousins. Does he have? He was hurt in camp. Does he have enough of a rapport with his receivers yet to make quick reads? The Falcons had big questions on their pass rush. They're thinking that Matthew Judon can help solve some of those. I just think overall they might have the better roster. They certainly have more offensive playmakers, right?
Yeah. Well, they do. I mean, I think that, and I think I do think they might be a better team than the Steelers.
They might be. The Steelers, I think, have an edge defensively. But, obviously, they have the best defensive player in the world, I think.
But I think the matchup of the Steelers' defense against Kirk Cousins is going to be where the Steelers are going to win the game. Because I think Kirk Cousins can't move, hasn't played in how long.
Yeah.
He's old to begin with. I think he's back there. I think he's going to be a sitting duck. You know Kirk Cousins will put it up for grabs a few times. I think that the game will be dictated there. The Steelers will probably win the game because their defense will just destroy Kirk Cousins.
Yeah, and I think it's always important to get a lead, but in a game like this, it feels critical for both teams because I'm convinced that Arthur Smith and Mike Tomlin believe that their best route to winning is like what we've seen the past couple of years, honestly, with the Steelers. In the condition that they're in offensive line-wise right now, not to mention receiver-wise after Pickens, I think they're just going to line up and try to win by not losing. They're going to run the ball a ton. They're going to try to wear the Falcons' defense down, and mostly they're not going to take chances and turn the ball over. And like you said, by doing that, part of their philosophy is, well, we're not going to turn it over, but eventually they will. But if they fall behind, that kind of goes out the window. And then conversely, the Falcons, if they get a lead and the Steelers are in pass mode, then they can get after Russell Wilson against this offensive line. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And if the Steelers can grab a lead, then Cousins does become a sitting duck.
Oh, absolutely.
I think
he's the kind of guy, honestly, he's such a perfectionist, Kirk Cousins, that he's his own worst enemy. You know, he has all these mental coaches and everything just to try and get him to be able to play each week. But I have a feeling the Steelers are going to hit him early and often. And just sort of render him. If you ask me, how do I think this game is going to go? I think the Steelers' offense is going to sputter. I do. But I think what they won't do is make mistakes that kill them. And, you know, eventually Kirk Cousins is going to put the ball up for grabs. There could be a strip sack or two. I mean, I could just see basically the Steelers are winning this game because of Kirk Cousins.
Well, let's hear some of the key clips coming up next, including a nice little back and forth with our friend and yours, Will Graves, who, yes, along with Benzi, they've now moved into the forefront. They've moved to the forefront, I should say, of people who get under Tomlin's skin more than anybody. Who are the all-time leaders in that category, Paul? David Todd?
David Todd was absolutely usually number one.
Aditi, for sure.
Yes.
Benzi.
For some reason, Brooke.
I don't know why. And Jury Rand.
Jury Rand, too.
He might be in the Hall of Fame of Tomlin irritators.
Benz, the thing about Benz is...
Benz, it's calmed down a little bit, I think.
Yeah, but here's what I like about Benz, and I think that Tomlin actually respects this. Benz doesn't like go into these press conferences looking to kiss ass and laugh and joke it up and yuck it up and get one-liners. And I mean, he's all business.
Yeah. I think right now it's
and
Graves.
Then there's Will Graves.
It's Graves and maybe Brooke Pryor for some unknown reason.
And then there's Will Graves.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Paul, I can't wait for the NFL. We got Ravens Chiefs. We're going to be 48 hours from now. We're going to be doing our predictions for that game and for the season. And Steelers-Falcons is a fascinating opener, not just for us, obviously, but I think nationally for everybody. I think a lot of people are picking the Falcons to win the AFC South. I looked at The Athletic yesterday. Their predictions for the season, they ran like, I don't know, 10,000 simulations. They have the Falcons as the 10th best team in the NFL. 12th best, I'm sorry. And the Steelers at 21st. 21st! They have the Steelers. And everybody's going to be watching it for the Arthur Smith angle, for Kirk Cousins, for Russell Wilson maybe especially. I mean, this guy has been a lightning rod for two straight years, the way he rode into Denver and the way he was ridden out of Denver. Both of those things, I just think it's a fascinating game myself. We just heard Mike Tomlin's first news conference of the year. Interesting little tidbits. Health-wise, he said there's some optimism with Roman Wilson Fatanu, Jaylen Warren, and Trice. He said, we're optimistic on those fronts. The only one I'm surprised with that they're optimistic on is Roman Wilson.
Why?
Because it felt like he was hurt for pretty much all of preseason, and it would seem like he'd be at least a little ways away from playing and contributing. Like, wouldn't you be taking a risk by giving him a helmet? And he also spoke so highly of Scotty Miller and Van Jefferson.
Yeah.
So is Wilson going to dress? I wonder. I wonder about that.
Well, I mean, if Scotty, you got Scotty Miller, Van Jefferson, and George Pickens. So you got to dress one other guy.
Right.
I'm assuming what's the status of Calvin Austin?
That's the question. I mean, you can draft. He's not hurt, is he? Didn't mention him at all.
That's what I was going to say. You want to talk about a guy who's just completely fallen off the radar.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I'll still be a little bit surprised if Roman Wilson dresses. You know, you're getting Miller, you're getting Jefferson, you're getting Pickens, as you say. Then how many tight ends? Four? I mean, Connor Hayward is a pass catcher, H-back, tight end, fullback, whatever you want to call him. Washington, Freiermuth. Does Mykal Pruitt, does he dress for the game limits?
I would imagine so, yeah. They'll dress four tight ends.
Too bad Paul missed Brian Bacco going through every guy on the roster yesterday. That was exciting, wasn't it?
Paul, you missed learning a lot of different things about fishing and camping and some of the other activities that the players like to do off the field.
I thought that was fantastic.
Brian is really good for all that kind of stuff.
He is. He really gets to know these guys. All right. We heard a back and forth with Will Graves. That was rather humorous. Let's hear that. Can we? You going to use a Paul pause this early in the game here?
Where do you see this offense? Does you believe it has more firepower than it did in the last few years?
I'm not interested in making you comfortable today, to be quite honest with you. Those are just words, and really at the end of the day, it's somewhat meaningless.
No, we got to go back, if you can, to the origination of that with the Arthur Smith thing, where he said, those aren't Arthur's bags or something like that. That wasn't his fault. And then Will followed up and we got to where we got. I don't know, Paul. Like I said, I think that they approach this game with a don't lose mentality. And I'm not so sure that's the wrong way to do it. Like, eventually I want to see this offense score points. And as Tomlin said last year when they fired Matt Canada, we want to engineer victory more fluidly. We need to score more. But in this particular game, I think a Kenny Pickett game plan might get it done. You?
I think they have to do that. I think they have to do that.
All right, Joe, you want to hear it?
Yes, I do.
Here it is.
And you guys have talked about it as the staff. Which, you know,
more points relative to when?
To before. So he said, I like to score more touchdowns.
Arthur's not toting those bags. Those bags aren't his.
I'm talking about your boss. I'm not talking about Arthur
Smith. Oh, I thought you were talking about Arthur Smith. Okay. You're going to say those bags aren't his.
I mean, where do you see this offense? Does you believe it has more firepower than it did in the last few years?
I'm not interested in making you comfortable today, to be quite honest with you. Those are just words, and really at the end of the day, it's somewhat meaningless. We'll have an opportunity to put some tape out there this weekend that's kind of reflective of that discussion. I'm more of a doer than a talker. Talking glowingly, particularly when you're undefeated this time of year, is easy, and I'm not attracted to easy. We're just going to work. And we're going to put some tape out there that's kind of reflective of our intentions.
That was a wonderful answer. And if you can take that, I'm not interested in comforting you. Is that what he's making you comfortable today? Intersperse that with our opening segment blow up today and put that in the final segment.
And I'm not attracted to easy.
Yes, I like that.
I this is the thing that I think we have not talked nearly enough about.
Yeah.
And I wrote this out because I'm writing a column about this later. We have not talked nearly enough about the disaster this offensive line could actually really be early this season.
Yeah.
So here's how I wrote it out. Here's how I would describe the Steelers offensive line. If I, you know, take names out of it, okay? This is currently the starting offensive line, at least for Sunday. Are you ready?
No, but go ahead.
Left tackle, A mediocre player the Steelers have tried to replace almost since his first start. Left guard. Second year, seventh round pick who played two offensive snaps last year.
Mm-hmm.
Center.
That would be Spencer Anderson.
Center. Rookie making his first start. Right guard. Solid, reliable veteran who started 32 of 34 games the last two seasons. Right tackle. Second year player whose best position is left tackle.
Yeah, I mean, that's...
that's a breakdown of the offensive line.
Meanwhile, the other guys have an intact entire line returning in the Falcons, and right. Tomlin complimented them. But you're right, Paul, and that also gets back to not getting a lead, or at least not falling behind in this game. You know, if you can keep it at, you know, 10-10 for a while, that'd be nice. But if you start to fall behind by 10 points, something like that, then all of a sudden... Whereas I think even young guys, you can say, sick them, right? You can have them block in the run game. What you don't want them doing is dealing with deep into the game plan, different types of pass rushes, different tricks and stunts and everything else, different blitzes that the Falcons could throw at them. And the Falcons have a lot of experience in terms of their defensive coaches. You start with Raheem Morris, who has been around and run some really good defenses. And then Tomlin was also mentioning Jimmy Lake, who's been around forever and has a very good resume as their defensive coordinator. So run block. That's what you need to do. Do not fall behind and subject yourself to exotic blitzes and whatever else the Falcons might have dialed up if they're up 10, 14 points, right?
Yeah. I mean, again, I think if you get down, you've got real problems.
Real problems.
You know what I mean?
Yes. I think, let me ask you this. I think this is a game that would call for Najee and Jalen together in the same backfield. To be 100% honest with you, I think it might be a game that would call for Justin Fields as the quarterback too. I honest to God believe that.
Yeah.
Just line up and run it 50 times. With him as one of your runners. But I get it. Russell Wilson's the quarterback. But I wouldn't mind seeing Warren and Najee share the same backfield. You? They can both block, too. They can both catch.
Yeah.
What do you think of that game plan?
I don't know. I mean, again, I'll tell you what I like. The more we get closer to the season, Joe, the more concerned I get about the Steelers. I think that we've probably spent the offseason convincing ourselves that some of these positions, they're better than they actually are.
Such as?
Quarterback.
Mm.
Receiver. Although we've been... But offensive line. It was depressing to actually go through the offensive line. Do you know what I mean? It was depressing to go through the offensive line and realize, wait a minute, we've been talking about all these guys. Like Broderick Jones is a first-round pick. Have we seen any evidence that he's this dominant tackle for the next 10 years? I don't know, especially not on the right side.
And not in the preseason.
And I think we do that a lot with the Steelers. We just like convince ourselves that they're better at places that they're probably not better.
I think if they win this game, it's going to be a similar plot to when they smashed Joe Burrow and Josh Allen those 2 years, Paul.
Yeah.
At the beginnings of seasons. They do have a chance to come out Sunday and just be violent defensively. If Cam healthy, ready
right.
to go, Keanu
Absolutely.
Benton is a game destroyer, Ogunjobi is healthy for now, TJ, Alex Highsmith, Patrick Queen, Minka, they could actually just bust up that Falcons offense and then do nothing offensively and still win. That could happen. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That could happen.
Yeah, you're right. That's what I said. I think if Kirk Cousins plays and plays the whole game, it's probably good for the Steelers.
Yeah.
I do.
You might be right about that. It could take him a while to get going.
I have David Todd on Twitter now trying to start a thing of William. You didn't really just say... You know, you'd rather have Michael Penix play, or the Steelers would be in bigger trouble with Michael Penix, blah, 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 blah. Actually, what I said was, in some ways, it could be the worst thing that happens for the Steelers, that Kirk Cousins get hurt and they bring in a guy like Michael Penix, who they will not prepare one single down this entire week for his style of quarterback. And he's the kind of guy, because of that, maybe he runs around and makes a couple of big plays. Yeah, I'd rather have an old guy with a bad Achilles who hasn't played in forever standing back there like a statue with the Steelers running at him and hitting him than a guy who might break a play or two. Yes, I did say that.
Well, I would say this. In terms of playmakers, I think Atlanta has an advantage.
Right, and
exactly. I wonder about a guy like Kyle Pitts, whether he's been held back by their quarterback situation. And yeah, I mean, Cousins is the guy to go in there and dice them up if he's healthy. I just wonder where he's at as far as comfort with the offense, as far as making quick reads, and as far as his health goes.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.